Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast. Your host, Terrence Biggs. With me always, of course, is the managing editor of Full Press Chiefs and a social media manager for FullPressCoverage.com, Braden Holacek. What's going on, Braden?
Doing pretty well today. We got a lot of obviously NFL news popping off with Combine Week and a lot of big decision makers in one place. So it's a busy time right now. I can't wait to discuss our topics today with the Combine and some other NFL news.
Now, speaking of, I guess we need to discuss, since you covered the Chiefs, they franchised cornerback L'Jarius Sneed. Two-part question. Did you see this coming, and do you think they'll be able to work out a long-term deal?
Yeah, I think the franchise tag would be beneficial. Just once it's made official, once they do it, I think if you're not going to be able to retain him, I think the tag is a smart choice just because you can still get something back in return for him. I would not be surprised if they tried to work out a long-term deal just because Snead's been somebody that has kind of rose up the ranks, so to speak, with his role in Kansas City. But I think ultimately, if I had to predict right now, I think it'll be probably a tag and trade scenario. We just haven't seen the Chiefs extend homegrown corners very much, and I think they're going to be able to probably get at least for sure probably a third round pick, maybe a second rounder and some additional capital. So I think with Snead where he's at in his prime, I just think so many teams would be after him, maybe in a tag and trade scenario. I'd love to see him back in Kansas City, but. I think if I had to predict, I think he'll probably be playing elsewhere in 2024.
Now, you mentioned the release of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who, as you've mentioned in the past, runs the world's greatest cardio routes. What do you see MVS as far as his future? As far as, is he too far along to actually improve at his craft?
I think so. I think it's, you even look at his, I think, career in Green Bay before coming to Kansas City. You're looking at a guy that's success rate and his catch percentage is roughly 50% for most of his career. So I kind of look at really him being a guy that's going to be kind of a deep shot down the field guy. Still has some drops that you have to worry about, but if he can kind of get a little bit more separation than what we saw at times this season, he can still make those big plays down the field. But I think for any team, you're probably looking at him as being a sparsely used probably wide receiver three, wide receiver four at this point. He's still only 29 years old, so maybe he has another 1 or 2 year deal coming this offseason. But yeah, I think it's pretty much a narrow skill set at this point for MVS.
What did you think clicked for him? He's had opportunity after opportunity, skill wise and athletic palate wise. He has all the tools that you possibly want from a wideout.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that probably, clicked the most, or didn't click, I guess, in Kansas City. I think the role that he was in, more of probably an elevated wide receiver too on that team the last couple of years. So, I think the biggest hindrance was just, you don't really see for his athletic ability, maybe being the most refined route runner. I don't think there's a lot of routes on the route tree that you're expecting him to be perfect at. I think there's just a very small set of kind of factors that he can really kind of hone in on and provide for you. So I think the biggest thing that helped him with Kansas City was he showed up in the big moments, playoff runs both years, had a lot of big time plays. But yeah, it's just one of those guys week to week, it's kind of going to be, I think, a back and forth kind of just not knowing what you're going to get as far as when he goes to his next team.
Now, when we discuss the free agency, and we discussed that before, what do you think that the Chiefs will do? Will they try to bring on a veteran wideout to replace, or will they go as far as the draft route?
Yeah, I think for me personally, I think it's probably going to be something where they'll probably address it both free agency and the draft. I think as much as I'd love to see them try to go after a guy like Mike Evans just with his pedigree and his career resume. I don't know if at this point I really see Kansas City going hunting for the big fish at wide receiver anyway. I think they'll try to kind of stay cost conservative at that spot. I could see if it's more about speed, guys like Calvin Ridley, Marquise Brown kind of stand out to me. Brett Veach has always kind of been notable about going after former first round picks and maybe after some guys that are looking for a third chance, so to speak. If it's about maybe some size or maybe a little bit more trustworthy route running, I think you could see somebody like a Tyler Boyd, not going to cost you a lot at this point in his career, former Bengal. I think somebody even like a Josh Reynolds, former Ram and Lion, is somebody that I've always kind of admired his game as a secondary piece. So I think it'll be more of a conservative cost approach in free agency, maybe adding a second or third tier guy, but still drafting probably one. I think if all goes well by at least the end of day two.
Here's a question. If you could possibly grab Mike Evans on this, let's just say he wants to keep, he wants to finish his career winning. So 3 years and $50 million. Would you do it?
I think I would personally, yeah. If I was in that chair of Brett Veach, I probably would personally, just because I think there's personally a size element is what I would try to add to this mix. I know speed has always been big for Kansas City and the Andy Reid offense, but I think having somebody with that added size that you just know in certain situations, even when he's getting the ball, everybody knows that he's unstoppable. So if I was in that spot, I would do it personally, yes.
And here's a question before we take a quick break. Now, Chris Jones is a free agent and wants to get paid handsomely, which fair. For the longest time, for the last couple of years, people have said how Aaron Donald is an all-time great. Chiefs bias aside, because I know that you actually are one of the most objective person people I've ever met. Side by side, right now, who's the better player?
Yeah, that's tough. I think I would still go Aaron Donald just because of how long of a run he had of being just consistently dominant. Even some years on the Rams teams that there wasn't as much around him defensively. You look at this past season, a lot of younger guys that they were relying on. So I think I'd still go Aaron Donald right now just because of how long he was consistently at the top. But I think for Chris Jones, he's probably close. He's right up there to me, probably second or third best of maybe this current generation.
See, here's my thing, and I don't know if I'm about to say this, but I think the fact that Chris Jones has had to play without a top end defensive end, as far as another top end pass rusher for the balance of his career, says a lot. Aaron Jones for that 1 year had Von Miller, William Floyd. He had pass rushers. I'm thinking just for me that Donald has the better stats. But right now, I would take Jones in a heartbeat. Just the simple fact that he plays hungrier. Does that make sense? Like in the Super Bowl, you could tell he's going to get paid no matter what. He has two Super Bowl rings in his pocket. However, he played that game, especially getting free and forcing that incompletion on third down that turned the game and had made the Niners settle for a field goal. I think Jones is historically going to be underrated, but currently properly rated. Now, when we come back from break, we're going to jump into the NFL Combine. That's after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Full Press NFL podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL podcast. Terrence Biggs, Braden Holacek. Braden, what's your first take on the combine as far as what are you looking for?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to me is kind of I used to be a big fan of the 40-yard dash and kind of who was the leaders there, but I think for explosiveness and kind of speed perspective, the vertical jump and the broad jump is actually something I've kind of enjoyed a lot more, just seeing who can really stand out in that area. Just like I said, from an explosiveness factor, but I think what you can maybe take away from some lateral agility as well. And then yeah, the three cone drill is always interesting to me, just because there's a lot of people that, whether you were expecting them to kind of show out or maybe be a little bit down the list, I always think like I'm very surprised with certain guys, whether they're big name players or guys looking to kind of raise their stock. The three cone drill to me just always, as far as the testing drills go, they always kind of leave a lot of surprises to me personally.
Is there any particular player that you're looking at right now on the offensive side of the ball that you kind of want to see how they perform?
Yeah, there's a couple receivers for me, I guess. First off, Brendan Rice from USC. Very, very intrigued with him. Kind of one of my favorites at this point in the process, as far as some receivers that aren't going to be maybe bona fide first round picks. But with his size, I think if he can put together a solid athletic testing week there at the combine, I think he can continue to kind of see his stock rise. Was really kind of impressed with his long speed with his size on tape at USC. So that's one receiver that I kind of like. Tez Walker, North Carolina, is another one for me. Didn't really have the greatest showing in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, so some drops there. A little bit of questions with some of his routes. So I think this is going to be an important week for him, just to kind of maintain possibly being a day two pick. If not, I could see him slightly falling a little bit into day three of the draft. And then I'll just say one last offensive player. Another player to me that kind of wasn't maybe in the best environment or didn't get to really prove himself enough at the Senior Bowl is Bo Nix. Of all these quarterbacks, I think Bo Nix is probably one of the most polarizing names as far as trying to figure out a landing spot, his ultimate ceiling, and just what his actual future could look like in the NFL. So, what about some offensive players for you?
I have a couple, but before we jump into them, I got a Tez Walker. You bring up a very valid point as someone who follows the University of North Carolina. Tez ran like three routes. His best route is always either the deep post or the fly. And the drops were kind of concerning because they're concentration drops. And as far as Bo Nix, let me ask you a question. Do you think the real Bo Nix is the Bo Nix we saw at Auburn or the Bo Nix we saw at Oregon or somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, I was going to say somewhere in the middle, just because I think you even look at this past season at Oregon, a lot of short passes, which, obviously the whole term game manager is thrown around a lot now. I don't think Bo Nix has to obviously consistently win down the field to be considered a good quarterback, but I think there was a lot of the production at Oregon that was really fueled by his teammates this past year. So I think for him, it's just going to be, I think he can kind of be structured and take care of the football. I think he's made improvements in that area, but I guess how much is he going to really be able to elevate you outside of maybe the basic things you're asking him to do?
What do you think of Marvin Harrison Jr. completely skipping the combine?
Yeah, it's I think for some people, I always want to see certain guys compete that maybe I just want to see a little bit more out of. But I think this is a player for me that, personally, I already kind of view him as the best player in the class. So, I don't know if it's as big of a deal for me for Harrison Jr. wait until the pro day, just because, I think at this point there's maybe not as much more that he can really add, to boost himself, maybe compared to some of these other guys.
For me on offense, first person I want to see is Spencer Rattler. For the longest time, I just kind of forgot he existed. When he went to South Carolina, I watched a couple of games and kind of felt that Spencer was absent, where he went from big fish and big pond to medium-sized fish in an irrelevant pond. He played well in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. That's a good start. I want to see how he aims at each throw in the tree. If there's any hesitation or if there's sailing of it, I want to make sure that the technique is there because at times Spencer would get kind of sloppy with his technique because he felt as though his arm strength would be able to make any throw. That's fine in college, but when you have safeties and corners who can make up ground in a heartbeat, those lazy passes will become picks or deflected passes. Now, outside of that, Brian Thomas out of LSU, he was the bookend to Malik Nabers. Thomas is about 6'4", 6'5", about 205, 210, big. He may not have the long speed of Nabers, but he's more of a build-up runner, and he's productive. I want to see those underneath routes because chances are teams may not rely on him just to run the deep third of the field. They might rely on him to live in the intermediate because of his size, be able to wall off corners on that slant, or be able to drive a corner back on that dig route. And offensive lineman, I'm about to butcher this man's name, Kingsley Suamataya from BYU. BYU has had a tradition of very good offensive linemen because their players are traditionally older because they go on mission work, so they are a little more experienced. So, Matai, I want to see and understand how the agility drill. I don't care about the 40. I don't care about the bench press. I want to see those feet move because chances are he'll be facing elite caliber edge rushers who will make him cross his feet if he's not careful. Defensively, who do you see on that side of the ball that you're kind of looking most into?
Yeah, I'm going to start with defensive end Marshawn Nealand from Western Michigan. Just seems to be unbelievable size as far as measurables go with his length. So it's just kind of how athletic is he this week at the combine. I think there's some buzz about him, I think, rising up the ranks already, but I think if he can put together a pretty big week, you could maybe say this guy has locked himself in as a top 64 pick, maybe around top 50 as well. There's a few linebackers that just kind of looking at some notes and stuff from some other people, whether it's Bruce Feldman's freaks list or stuff like that. But just from a testing perspective, guys that could absolutely tear it up. I think you look at Kentucky linebacker Trevon Wallace, just really, really explosive straight line speed. How's he going to be able to do with lateral agility, though? I think is going to be fascinating to watch. Peyton Wilson, NC State. Feels like this guy's been around forever. I'm maybe not as high on him as a few other people, but I think obviously from a realistic standpoint, if he puts together a pretty good week of testing, I think he could kind of see himself still be one of the top few linebackers off the board in April. And then Junior Colson from Michigan, another linebacker that I'm just really intrigued by. Not going to be the biggest guy, but can still lay a boom and a pop. Just a really, really fascinating player. Flashes off the screen a lot. So, I think with how many plays he can make in space, it's going to be interesting to see, if he's kind of near the top of maybe some of the all-time records in terms of athletic testing this week.
For me, you mentioned Peyton Wilson. That's the first guy I'm going to see. Tremendously productive at NC State. 402 tackles, I think, 7 picks, but 2 ACL surgeries. I need to see the medicals, how those medicals look. How has he managed to move past those injuries? Because they always say if you blow out an ACL, chances are higher or better that you might blow up the same ACL because of how that ligament is. Another guy is Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest, safety. He reminds me of Bob Sanders. Same height, same frame, same explosive speed. I know he'll time well. I want to see him in position drills because chances are teams will use him in the box and be able to come down and make tackles. I want to see if he can deal with that little slot receiver on those option routes. Another guy is TJ Tampa out of Iowa State, cornerback. Bigger corner, longer strides, but has speed. He's one of the few corners that can run well, but he's long-limbed. And that's when you think of that, people want to think of Kevin King, but you have a longer corner who can stay with wideouts. I want to see play recognition, be able to get his head around because at times when he was at Iowa State, you saw a lot of locking onto the eyes of the receiver and just putting your hand up late. What is your least favorite part of the combine process?
Yeah, I guess honestly for on-field drills, I think there's certain things, I guess, with the big guys, whether it's O-line or D-line, that I think it's just it's hard to, I guess, sit through and watch compared to some of the other position drills. I just think there's certain things like route running or passing from the quarterbacks and receivers that you can kind of take away from a little bit from a visual aspect and maybe jot that down as something to keep in mind how they performed. I think some stuff with the O-line and D-line with the bags or the pads, I think there's just so much less that maybe is realistic to what's maybe going to happen in a game, maybe compared to running those routes and just seeing how refined some of those guys are. So there's not a lot that I really dislike, but that's something that's always hard for me to kind of get through.
For me, it's less about the on-field because, like you said, I don't really need to see a guard or a nose tackle run a 4-yard dash. It's impossible to kind of see that in a game often. That 10-yard split, more important. But for me, it's always the conversations among the broadcasters. These are the most tangential conversations that have a lot to do with football, but then they veer off and it makes the process difficult. It makes the process to keep following because then you just have constant talking about random stuff.
Yeah.
Now, last question for you. Are there any players that you think will surprise somebody with a freakishly strong showing?
Wow, yeah, that's a good question. I'm kind of thinking about wide receivers a little bit. I think there's a couple of guys that are maybe down lower on the ranks. Jamari Thrash is interesting to me from Louisville. I think there's another Louisville player at running back in Juwan Jordan. Both those players, to me, as far as just athletic testing, I could see them being maybe the top of their position for this year, and maybe even especially for Juwan Jordan, I think come close to maybe some of the all-time records as far as their position goes for athletic testing. So those are a couple that are interesting to me that maybe aren't necessarily nationally recognized. So any of that stand out for you?
Rasheen Ali, running back from Marshall, where he played well for the herd. Like you mentioned, Bruce Feldman earlier, he's one of his freaks, his workout freaks. I want to see how he times and everything. That's one player I want to sit and watch all of it. I want to watch every test that he does because I think that right now I see him as a early seventh, late sixth round pick. With a strong performance, he could possibly sneak into the fifth round if teams want a back that can do a little more. He's not the biggest guy, but he definitely has explosion. How can people interact with you on social media and what's coming up on FBC Chiefs?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter or X at Braden Holacek 9, BradenHolecek, and the number 9. Also follow at FPC underscore Chiefs and at Full Press NFL. Yeah, so earlier in the week kind of wrote about possibility of Marquez Valdes-Scantling being a possible salary cap casualty, and then the news already dropped today that they were releasing him. So kind of just reacting to the release, his 2 years in Kansas City, and maybe what he could kind of look forward to in free agency. Also had another wide receiver kind of topic article on the Chiefs, what their plan might be for this offseason to address the position. And then yeah, I think later in the week it's going to be another part on Chris Jones. I think the biggest thing is going to be just trying to finalize a prediction on what I really think will happen with him, and how the Chiefs maybe look to make him one of the highest paid defensive players in the league. So that'll be another part on Chris Jones, probably rounding out the week.
You can find all our stuff at fullpresscoverage.com. You can read our stuff on Twitter X. You can see the links at Full Press NFL. You can find me at Tequila Biggs on X. This has been a phenomenal episode of the Full Press NFL podcast.